got the gospel transmitting all day.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
He should have brought all of it from a long ways. I just can't tell it all. Thank God for the choir. Amen for those selections. Amen. We grateful to them. Well, I'm going back down a road we've been. A strange thing happened to me yesterday. My computer locked up. And took it to the main. He said, I can't get it straight until Monday. And all night long, I said, Lord, what am I going to preach? And I couldn't think of what I was going to preach. I didn't know nothing this morning. I went through about 3-4 different sermons, looking and praying, and finally the Lord dropped me in on this one. And I want to call your attention to the book of Job. Job chapter number 1. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now thanking you for another day. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to stand and to preach your word. We ask now that you would just allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, and then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. Let your word go forth with power, lifting up a bound down here. Father, please have mercy. If so, save a soul. Father, please have mercy. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and we thank you. Amen. In the book of Job, beginning at verse number 6, Job chapter 1, beginning at verse number 6. We will find these words. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? And so Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hand on his person. And so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20 said, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And for a little while, I want to talk from the subject, the invisible warfare. Let us all know that whether you know it or not, we are in an invisible warfare, and it's going on in us and all around us. And so the aim of this sermon is to know each of us that no matter what happens, God is always in control, even in our worst sufferings. And so let me begin by asking, how many of you know that as followers of Christ, there is an invisible war going on all around us as well as in our lives, meaning there is an invisible enemy fighting us on every hand, trying to defeat us and cause us to walk away from God and give up on the church. But now the enemy I'm referring to is not your neighbor. It's not any human, because the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 6 and 12, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. But Satan does work through some people many times to do his evil deeds. But the good news is that God has provided all the spiritual armor we need to be victorious in the battle. Meaning no matter how bad things become, we have the victory in Jesus Christ, who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And knowing this, this is what makes us more than conquerors. Now Jesus said, build my church. He's not talking about this building that we're in, this mount, what we call the Mount Olive Baptist Church, but he's talking about every born-again believer in Christ. And that's why we read in 1 Peter 2 and 5, he says, in essence, in Christ we have become living stones that are being used to build a spiritual house. And so, yes, we will may go through some trying times and some difficult circumstances, but through it all, we have the assurance that not even the very power of hell can overcome us. And so we, as we consider our text and subject, the invisible warfare, I believe it will answer that age-old question that says, why does bad things happen to good people? My brothers and sisters, we don't have to be a bad person or to do bad things for some bad things to happen in our lives. And so in the text, as the veil is pulled back a little, we are able to get a little glimpse into the spiritual warfare going on in the spiritual realm, a warfare that dramatically affected the life of old man Job, as well as our lives today. In other words, we are allowed to see some events that occur in the spiritual realm that cannot be seen with the natural eye. And so with your prayer, we want to take a look at the faith of Job as he goes through some great sufferings and affliction. And we hope that because of this, that it will encourage us to hold on in troubled time. Why? So that no matter what happens in our lives, we will never abandon God, but instead we will draw near to him and be assured that nothing can happen in this life, either the life to come, unless God allows it. And so as we consider our text and subject, invisible warfare, let us not forget that just like Job, we too are engaged in an invisible battle with a spiritual enemy who seeks our destruction. But always keep in mind that the one with us is greater than the one fighting against us. And that's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so come go with me in your mind as we investigate this invisible warfare that's being waged against Job as well as all the people of God today. Now, the first thing we notice in the text is that Job would seem like he would be an unlikely candidate for all of this stuff to happen to. In verse 1 and 5, why is this? Because as we investigate Job's character, the Bible says in verse 1 that Job was truly a good person, one who respected God and refused to do evil. In other words, Job was a man of purity, integrity, as well as holiness. He was a man who lived his life in the fear of the Lord, a man against whom no one could make an accusation that would stick. And according to verses 2 through 4, he was also a wealthy and blessed man, because the Lord had honored Job by giving him great riches and a large, loving family. And therefore, the blessings of God was clearly seen in the life of Job. And when we consider Job's commitment, we understand that Job served as the family priest who offered sacrifices to temporarily atone for the sins of his children. We note in verse 5, it says that after each feast, Job would send for his children, and he would perform a ceremony as a way of asking God to forgive them of any wrong that they may have done. Notice the text said that they may have done, not that they had done, but just in case they had done anything wrong, amen, Job did this ritual. My brothers and sisters, Job was a man of commitment and consistency. In other words, every day was spent in holy living. Every day was spent in avoiding sin and in seeking God for others and in living out his relationship with the Lord. And that's why I believe you'll agree when I say that all these things would seem to make Job an unlikely candidate for trouble and suffering. Because most folk have the idea that we only suffer because of our wrongdoing, like Job's wife and his friends thought. But now the fact of the matter is, sometimes we do suffer because of our sins and our foolish decisions. But God also allows trouble and trials to come into our life in order, especially slackened believers, in order to try to bring us back in fellowship. Are you with me? He does this to chastise us, to get us back on the right road. Because unconfessed sins and disobedience causes us to backslide and fall out of fellowship with the Lord. And so many times God would allow suffering to come into his children's lives also to test us and grow our faith and to sanctify our lives. But the greatest reason we suffer is for the glory of God. For instance, the Bible says in John 11 and 4 concerning the sickness of Lazarus, when Jesus delayed his coming until Lazarus dead, Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." And in the same way, we see in the text that this was also the reason for Job's suffering. But what is this saying to us this morning? Well, it's telling us that no matter how good, how bad, saved, or lost that we are not immune to suffering. We are not immune to trouble. Meaning no one in this world is above problems, the problems of this world that is common to humanity. And my brothers and sisters, this is the one of the main truths that we should take away from the book of Job. As the saying goes, the tree that stands the tallest is the tree that is most likely to be struck by lightning. And in the same way, when we are dedicated to the Lord and to his will and do his work, my brothers and sisters, that automatically makes you and me a target and a candidate for the attacks of the devil. In other words, a person is most likely to be attacked by Satan when he or she live closer to the Lord than a person that's not living for the Lord, contrary to popular belief. But now the next thing we see in the text is an unseen conflict, verse 6 through 12. Because while Job is living his life on earth, events are taking place in the unseen spiritual realm, events that Job cannot see and is not privy to. And guess what? My brothers and sisters, that same conflict is still going on right now. For we note that verse 6 reveals a heavenly assembly where we see angelic beings making appearance before the throne of God, apparently to give account of their service to him. But now the thing that mystifies and seems strange to me is that the appearance of a being called Satan right in the midst of all of those holy angels. I'm talking about Satan, the being whom sin originated. Satan, the most ungodly being in the universe. Satan, the one that God kicked out of heaven, was among the holy angels standing before God Almighty in heaven. But now, what makes this so incredible is the fact that God is so holy that he can't even bear to look upon sin, and yet there stands Satan in the midst of the holy angels. I'm talking about Satan, who is known as the accuser of the brethren, the adversary, the devil, the father of lies, the god of this world, the prince of the powers of the air, Lucifer, The ruler of darkness, the tempter, the thief, the wicked one, is among the holy angels standing right there before God. My brothers and sisters, just his name alone declares his character. And yet, there he stands in the presence of the Lord God in heaven. But you know, I thank God that the Bible says that there will come a day when he'll be cast out forever. And we see that Satan, all of a sudden, he receives a heavenly acknowledgement in verse number 6, meaning God acknowledges Satan and calls him to account for his activity by saying, "But where do you come from?" And Satan said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking back and forth on it." Then God asked him, "Have you considered my servant Job? No one on earth is like him. He's a truly good person who respects me and refuses to do evil." But in answering God's question, Satan reveals his true identity by bringing a heavenly accusation against God the Father. In other words, he lives up to his name because the word Satan means adversary, one who stands in opposition to another. And so in so many words, Satan tells God, "Well, the only reason old Job served you is because you done paid him off." Note, he says in verse 9 to 11, does Job fear you for nothing? If you were to move your hand from his life, Job would turn his back on you and he would curse you to your face. In other words, Satan accused the Lord of favoritism toward Job. Now, this is quite an accusation from quite an accuser, but did you know that Satan is still standing against the people of God right now? He's standing against us today, accusing you and me. But in verse 12, the Lord told Satan, "All right, do what you want to do with anything that belongs to him, but don't lay a hand on his person." Here we see that God, being sovereign, places a limit on what Satan could do. Don't lay a hand on his person. And then we say in verse 12 also ends showing Satan leaving the presence of God. But my brothers and sisters, Satan is still accusing you and he is accusing me before the throne of God. But even in the face of his accusation, as saints of God, we have an advocate. In other words, we have a lawyer in the courtroom of eternity. But now Satan acts the part of the prosecuting attorney who exposes our weaknesses before God. And guess what? Most of the time, he doesn't have to make anything up because we are guilty as charged. But I thank God today that while Satan accuses us before God, we have one who pleads our case before the bar of heaven. And his name is Jesus the Christ. And that's why the Bible says, according to 1 John 2, 1 and 2, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, who is the propitiation of the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not for ours only, but for the whole world." And so it's after this heavenly accusation, in verse 13 through 9, it revealed that Job began to experience in his life an unbelievable crisis. Note the text reveals that as much as he could, Satan unleashes hell in the life of Job. Because in one incredible, heartbreaking, unbelievable day, Job saw everything he loved and lived for taken away as one crisis unfolds after another in his life. And so we see in verse 14 through 17 that Job hears of the theft and the destruction of everything that he had worked for his whole life to accumulate. In other words, Job is ripped from the perch atop of the pinnacle of success, and now he finds himself broken and battered with nothing left of his former glory. But it is in verse 18 and 19 where we see just when Job thought things couldn't get any worse, the most devastating news reached his ear and ripped his heart from his chest when he's told that all 10 of his children were killed at one time when the house fell in and collapsed on him. But now in investigating this crisis, we need to recognize the fact that it was not by a mere coincidence that in each case, one person was always spared to go bring Job the bad news. with the intent to drive the dagger of grief and despair even deeper into his heart. And so as Satan thought by ripping his children from his life, that this would surely drive old Job over the edge because he wanted to get Job to curse God. Are you with me? So that he could steal God's glory. Meaning this whole episode had nothing to do with Job's wealth, his health, his children, but this whole episode centered on Satan's desire to rob God of his glory. But what Satan didn't realize was that even he and his scheme were all a part of God's plan to increase his glory through his work in the life of Job. And that's why God took ownership of this entire affair. We know God says in chapter 2 and 3, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without a cause. In other words, Satan thought he was in charge of all this mayhem, but it was God who was in charge all the time. Now, that says to us this morning that no matter what happens in your life or my life, both good or bad, God is still in charge because nothing can come into our lives unless he allows it. And so from the beginning to the end of this entire affair, it was all under the control of the Almighty God, meaning he was in control of the whole situation. We note verse 7 in our text in chapter 1, God was the initiator. Because God didn't allow Satan to speak until he was spoken to. Then in verse 8, it shows that God is the instigator because it was God who brought Satan into the conversation in the first place. Also, God the Father was also the inhibitor because God set limits on how far Satan could go. Well, you know, God says in verse 12, say, all that he has is in your power, but don't lay a hand on his person. Meaning Satan had was limited in what he could do to Job because God was in control of this entire situation. Now that ought to bring comfort to our heart or anyone going through some trying circumstances this morning by letting you know that nothing can happen in your life or my life that is not a part of God's perfect plan for our life, meaning he controlled the timing of our disruptions. He controlled the durations of our disruptions. He controlled the extent of our disruptions. Because everything that he allows in your life and my life is for our good and for his glory. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But now I know that some folks still have trouble believing this. But it's a fact nonetheless. And so I can't speak for you, but I find peace in knowing that everything that comes my way is a part of God's plan for me. And so as for me, I'll rest in the arms of divine providence and rejoice that my God is always in control of my life and everything that takes place in my life. And so in this saga of Job, with him being an unlikely candidate caught up in an unseen conflict, causing him to experience an unbelievable crisis. Finally, we see Job shows an unfazed commitment. Because finally in the text in verse 20 and 22, that despite all of the carnage going on in the life of Job, he maintained an unfazed commitment to God. Because in that aftermath of this devastation, destruction, and death, Job's reaction was that he shaved his head. He tore his clothes. And now both these actions are signs of intense mourning because surely his heart was broken. But what Job does next is what really takes us by surprise. Notice he shaved his head and he tore his clothes and fell to the ground. But he takes us by surprise because Job's response was not a complaint. Job's response was not to speak against God, but to offer praise to the Lord for blessings that he already enjoyed at the hands of God. In other words, Job's response was to keep on worshiping and keep on trusting God. He served and worshiped in the good times as well as the bad. The grace of God can enable each of us to do the same thing. And so Job declared and realized, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the text says, in all that Job did, all that he went through, he did not sin nor charge God with anything wrong. And oh, my brothers and sisters, I tell you, there's an invisible warfare being waged against each of us this morning. And far too often, we become casualties of this war, and sometimes we're not even aware of it. But we must always remember that Satan will attack us in many ways, but his ultimate goal is the same, and that is to undermine our faith so that he can attack the glory of God. And so as I try and move to the close, what should be our response in troubled time? Well, we should keep on trusting and keep on praising the Lord, because even though there is a spiritual warfare going on around us, even going on in us, I told you we still have the victory, meaning we still have the victory despite our circumstance. And that's why we should keep on trusting in the Lord, even when life doesn't make sense. And so the main lesson we should get from Job's life is the recipe for success in life's invisible warfares. Because all we got to do is keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, despising the shame. Now he's sitting down on the right hand of the throne of God, and he's making intercessions for you and me. And even though God may seem sometime way away when trouble come, but I need to tell you, don't worry, because he's always in charge. Yeah, you got to be just like Job and realize that no matter what comes into our lives, God is able to see us through. Yes, Job said, I didn't bring nothing here. And every one of us this morning, we didn't bring a thing into the world. We came here naked, and yes, Lord, and we didn't bring anything in. And when we leave here, we won't take nothing out, because they'll take our old bodies and throw them in the ground. But thank God our spirit will take the wings of an eagle, and we'll fly out into glory. Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. Yeah, Lord. Sometimes I get discouraged along the way, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. Sometimes it get a little rough, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. He promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He promised to be right by my side. Yes, he does. Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up when you fall down? God is able. There's an invisible warfare going on all around us. You can't see him, but Satan is busy. And not only is Satan busy, our flesh is warring against our spirit. And we have to be on guard. But one thing I want to tell everybody, I don't care what you go through, always remember God is right there. Don't walk away from God. Get closer to him. Sometimes our prayers don't be answered as fast as we want them to be. But just wait on the Lord. Just wait on him. And as they say, he may not come when we think he ought to come, but whenever he shows up, he's always on. This time we extend the invitation.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m.,